Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for June 18th, 2019, looking at the first portion of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul writes, "Now concerning the things you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, but because of sexual sins, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. The husband is to fulfill his obligation to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, her husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, his wife does. Do not deprive one another, unless you both agree to do so for a time, in order to devote yourselves to prayer, and then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. However, I say this as a concession, not as a command, for I wish all people were like me, but each person has his own gift from God. One person is blessed in this way, another in a different way. I say to the unmarried and to widows that it is good for them if they remain as I am, but if they do not have self-control, they should marry, because it is better to marry than to burn with desire. Next, I command the married. It is the Lord's command, not mine. A wife is not to leave her husband, but if she does leave, she must remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. But I say, not the Lord, I say to the rest, if any brother has an unbelieving wife and she is willing to go on living with him, he is not to divorce her. If any woman has an unbelieving husband, and he is willing to go on living with her, she is not to divorce her husband. For the believing husband has been sanctified in connection with his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified in connection with her husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbeliever leaves, let him leave. The brother or sister is not bound in such cases, and God has called us to live in peace. For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife?" This is the word of our God. We'll just take the first 16 verses today. And this is kind of the first idea, the first main segment of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And Paul is very straightforward, but that doesn't mean that it's easy or simple to understand. First of all, is the issue that we don't know exactly all the details that he's talking about. He is writing in specific response to a couple of questions that they had written to him about and that they had brought up to him. And that's the very first verse. He makes a note, "Now concerning the things you wrote." And then a little bit later on, he makes a note as to, in verse 10, "I command the married, it is the Lord's command, not mine. A wife is not to leave her husband." And then again in verse 12, then Paul says, "Well, this is my command, not something the Lord has said." And it would be very easy to go off the rails, especially with the way that Paul talks in that last paragraph that we just read, especially in verse 14, when he talks about the unbelieving husband, the unbelieving spouse really being sanctified in connection with the husband or the wife. And so we do our best to understand the starting point, to rewind back to the very beginning, and understand this as best as we can in light of the possible question or questions that they had asked. Because if some of these statements aren't making sense as they stand, then there must be part of the broader context and the specific question that would help to clarify what in the world is going on here. And I think that this particular section and this chapter in particular, especially chapter 6 and 7 together, really finds a very, very good parallel, or rather, at least a stark and sharp parallel to our culture today. Because here they are in Corinth, and they're living in a very metropolitan, in their minds, progressive age and progressive time. And they are proud about the fact that a man is sleeping with his stepmother, and there are divisions in the church. That's all part of the broader context here. So at least some of the church is being proud about about their very forward sexual revolution kind of ideas. But part of the church probably isn't. And so as there are divisions in the church, according to whoever they align with from conversion or whoever they chose as their pastor or their leader, so also there's also divisions in the church in regards to what they believe about proper practice. And so part of the church, probably not all of the church, but part of the church was patting themselves on the back and saying, aren't we wonderful? You know, aren't we forward thinking that this man sleeps with his stepmother, and we should be proud about this, and we're so progressive and straightforward. But then there's probably a reaction from perhaps, you know, a more conservative element, for lack of a better word. Probably a reaction that kind of goes off the other way. Even Martin Luther kind of described the lurching back and forth between the extremes of doctrine as Christians strive to find a way to stand the narrow middle path. On the one hand, instead of, you know, people are falling off the path into the idea of license. You can do what you want. And this man sleeps with his stepmother. That's fine. Chapter 6. And chapter 6, you know, it's just an appetite. Just like I eat, same way my body has sexual appetites that need to be filled. And why shouldn't I visit a prostitute? Because, well, the food for the body for food, the stomach for food, rather, God will destroy them both. And the other side, chapter 7, probably lurched off the other way, where they said, well, quoting exactly what Paul quotes here in verse 1, good for man not to touch a woman, where they lurch off the other way from the license into the other opposite ditch of legalism. And so the same depreciation and lack of appreciation for the body and the bodily life that found its expression in chapter 6 about fornication and about, you know, this man sleeping with his stepmother, or, you know, the hookup culture of Corinth of their day, found its counterpart in chapter 7 when the church writes, well, you know, it's probably the catchword or the banner that they took up, it's well for a man not to touch a woman. And thinking that, well, if everybody else is launching into every sort of promiscuity, then it is better, and it is more Christian, and it is more religious if you don't get married, and if you don't spend time with a woman, if you just try to live an ascetic life where you never engage, and you never get married, and you never follow through with the blessings and privileges and responsibilities of marriage in that regard. But Paul notes that, especially in verses 2 through 5, many of the people who undertook that idea weren't really equal to the task. And he says, well, by the way, in a time of so much sexual sin, let's re-clarify and re-understand what God says about the proper godly use of the body. Verse 2. Because of sexual sins, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. The question of verse 1 and the banner that they took up, it's good for man not to touch a woman, is responded to directly by Paul. Well, time out. It's good to be married. And likewise, in verse 3, the idea that there are obligations, especially the sexual relationship within a marriage, that is one of the primary responsibilities in the marriage. And it's not a selfish thing, in verses 3 and 4, that you have your body in service to your spouse, and likewise they to you. When Paul writes, the husband is to fulfill his obligation to his wife, likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, the husband does, and the reverse. Verse 5, do not deprive one another unless you both agree to do so for a time, in order to devote yourselves to prayer and then to come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And when he says that, he's really probably addressing that legalism banner that they had taken up. It's good for a man not to touch a wife. If everybody else is launching into sin, then it's good for us to abstain from sexual activity, all sexual activity. And Paul says, time out. It's good to be married. and it's good for you to carry out a healthy sexual relationship within that marriage between one man and one woman, publicly committed to one another for life. And so Paul says, when he says in verse 6, I say this as a concession, not as a command, he's talking about depriving one another for a period of time in order to devote themselves to prayer. Paul says, well, that's kind of the exception. And if you really want to go that route, you can. But the normal order of events within the marriage is that husband and wife do not deprive one another. But he says, you know, I say this as a concession, that you are able to take some time off from your sexual relationship in order that you may, you know, devote that time and energy and thought to prayer. But don't have it as an ongoing permanent idea. Verse 7, I wish all people were like me. Each one has his own gift from God. When he says so, he's like, well, you know, not everybody can live as he is, which is as a single person, and be perfectly content with that without falling into gross and obvious outward sin. We'll take it up beginning in verse 8 and following tomorrow, but, you know, verses 1 through 7 really sets the background and the foundation for what in the world is going on in this chapter. And verses 1 through 7, a proper understanding of their question and the probable two groups there in Corinth, where one group, chapter 6, jumped headfirst into license, saying you can do what you want, it doesn't matter. And the other group here in chapter 7, probably in response, you can't do what you want, and in fact, all sexual activity is bad. And Paul calls them both back to that narrow middle, that God designed the body, that your body will be raised at the end of time, that we honor God with our body. And part of that is that when you're in a married relationship, which is the proper place for the expression of a sexual relationship, the, you know, the marriage of one man and one woman publicly committed to one another for life, that is the place to carry out this marriage relationship. And it's not something to put on the back burner as though it's simply an optional part of the marriage relationship. We'll talk about that more tomorrow, beginning at verse 8. You can find us Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. at 2250 South Hollandsvania Road in Maumee. Also Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. Same place, not the same time because it's 9 a.m. You could also follow us on Instagram at RaisedWithJesus. God bless your day.